Philip Archerlock, I voted that it did have an implication, but I think the implication depends on the business. That I think, you know, just saying there's a cycle is potentially misleading. That for some businesses, which if I start again, some businesses, when you're looking at your ICA, you need to discover or consider what the actual key risks driving your ICA are going to be. For many businesses, it may be that the cycle, or indeed different cycles in different classes of business and the correlation between them, will have a very significant impact on the ICA. For other businesses, I think, particularly catastrophe-exposed businesses, that may not be the main influence on the ICA. So to answer whether the cycle has an impact on your capital requirement, I think it will always have an impact in the sense of looking at the correlation between key risks and other parts of the business, that if you're in a down part of the cycle, then even if the other businesses are behaving as normal, they will be having more capital strain than they would at the top part of the cycle. And therefore, there's less sort of premium or profit coming from those parts to cover the actual key risks that are driving your 1 in 200 level capital requirements. So with all businesses, it will have an impact, but the importance for an individual business needs to be thought about in terms of the classes you write and whether those classes follow the same cycle or whether there's actually sort of some diversification between them.
Okay. Any other comments on that? I mean, I would also add to that is that the amplitude that you have in different classes of business varies. I mean, some go from very, very, very handsome profits to very, very painful losses. And I think that amplitude also has an effect. But I think it varies very much.
Thanks. Hi. Peter England. The question actually says, does the cycle have capital implications, not how does it change your ICA? And I think the cycle does have capital implications, but in quite interesting ways. The capital an insurance company chooses to hold might be or will be quite different from the ICA number coming through. So what would be nice in an ideal world is if they actually had to hold their ICA capital. And then as you go through the cycle, you'll have to hold more capital in a soft market. Shareholders might demand a higher the same return on capital, and therefore the cycle will actually disappear. That would be nice, but in practice that actually doesn't happen. Insurance companies hold a certain amount of capital. So what actually moves around is their risk tolerance criterion as they go through the cycle, given they're holding the same capital, everything else being equal.
Sure. And I think it is actually quite interesting as well, that the connection between the cycle and the capital, which I think is unresolved to this extent. I mean, does this regime impose cyclical capital requirements on us?
James Orr, I just wonder, perhaps from a regulatory point of view, whether these requirements have got a potential pro-cyclical component to them, in the sense that if you require people to anticipate the underwriting cycle, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. People have got a fighting fund in place to keep going when the rates are less and less profitable, and in fact we end up exacerbating the underwriting cycle, and perhaps end up with a more volatile kind of performance from the general insurance industry as a whole. Just throwing that in as a possible question.
Well, I mean, I don't know the answer. Yeah. One thing that I think will be quite interesting is that if these as these ICAs are being scrutinised and sort of all coming to a common level of realism, you're going to start having documents appearing at a board level, which will be saying, at some points, we're expecting to make a lot of losses in year two and three. And that sort of increased transparency or that very different dialogue, I think, may have an effect. Question number 12345. How realistic are we, actuaries, management, underwriters, about the downward part of the cycle? Which I will split into three parts. And those who think that actuaries are realistic about the downward part of the cycle, i.e. that they sort of recognize that the world might change, might put their hands up. So are actuaries realistic about the downward part of the cycle? Anyone who thinks yes? Do you think actuaries are unrealistic about the underwriting cycle? to actually think this is a stupid question. Do we control the cycle or just react to it is another question. Now, when I say we here, I don't mean the market as a whole, because the market as a whole doesn't act in concert on these things. I mean, do individual companies, not necessarily your own company, do individual companies act to control the cycle, or do they actually just react? So companies other than your own. So do companies just react to the cycle? Hands up those who think they just react. Yeah, there you are. Do people think that companies, including their own, control the cycle? No, they don't. There are clearly exceptions. But I mean, in general, that's. So there is some view that it is something to which we generally, but not all, just react to.
Thank you. I asked you to choose just one more question. They're all fascinating, but unfortunately we've only got time for one last. So your favourite question, George, on the cycle?
Well, that's already been answered, which was, does it exist? Does anyone have any other questions?
Well, thank you very much, George. That was extremely fascinating. It goes to the core of our industry and how it's viewed in the stock market. Could we show our appreciation to George for his presentation and questions?